Father, we come to you again this morning and thank thee, first of all, for this precious book, the Word of God. Dear Father, we thank thee not only that you exist, but you left us a documentation that we can know to be the Word of God, to tell us who you are, what you're doing, what we're supposed to be doing, and what you plan for humanity, and have the potential to live with God forever, and let yet, as Brother Ken said, not many. Compared to the ones that live on this earth, there won't be the bulk of people will end up not staying with you, but in hell, denying there is a hell, a lake of fire. But Lord, we thank thee to know that there's a heaven. There's a place that Jesus said he's preparing for us. But he told us we'll have to occupy until Jesus comes back for the church. And as long as we have time given to us, you ought to be the first in our lives. And I pray today as we open this book again, and look at ourselves at this time, standing before you and going to meet you face to face one day, that we'd listen to the Scriptures and find ourselves, discipline ourselves to be what you say we should be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn first of all to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, and I would like to read about 26, 27, 28, then we're going to Romans just a moment. Next Sunday, we'll be starting what we call here Stewardship Month. And we'll be talking every year for since we've been here for 46 years. We had used to have the Faith Promise or Mission Conferences. But a number of years ago, we started having a whole month of February as Stewardship Month. Have our missionaries come in on Sunday night individually and from there decide as we go into the year what God wants us to do, and the missionary support, and even add on missionaries. We thank God we have 95. We hope to see 100, Lord willing, soon, support around the world. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say before I read this morning, every one of us knows what it is to have guidelines for our home or for our business or for our organization. We know what it is. You will not start out in a business or organization or even a home without having some guidelines. Children born into a home realizes that they may not be spelled out. Some are. It's very unfortunately if they're not spelled out, because then someone may doubt when they're trying to be enforced, especially among children. But every one of us have guidelines. And we set those guidelines up based on what we think should be for our home or for our organization or for our business or whatever. Well, I've got news for you. God has guidelines for his children. Now, he's got his word that brings and draws people to the Lamb of God. But when you and I are put into the family of God, he has guidelines for us. He has things that set up that he writes, documentation, doctrines, and other things that is that which in turn would give us something to look at to pattern our lives after. And if we do that, it's patterned like Jesus Christ or the mind of Christ, because this book sets forth God's mind, which would be also studied to be the mind of Christ, for he was God in the flesh. So when I read about what God tells me I ought to be doing, then I realize it's not just some preacher come up with some mess or book been written trying to get people isolated in some form of fashion of religion. It is God instructing us what we need to know and do. And so look with me, if you will, first of all, in Genesis chapter 1, we read verse 26, 27, 28. It said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now notice, he said the man that he has created is in his image. Nothing else did he make. He didn't even make angels in his image. But he said man that he made from the dust of the ground, blew into him the breath of life, he created in his image. So therefore he gave him some instructions about what he should do that had to do with God's organization had unfolded in time, and said, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, male and female, he created them." Notice, he them. And then he said, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." Now, the thing about it is, when he talks about multiplying, we understand that increase. When he said replenish the earth, we understand that offspring. Then he said subdue it. That means that is literally bring it under control. He has the responsibility to bring things into control that would be better for man and for the glory of God. In fact, anything that's done for the glory of God will always be better for man. And then he goes on, he said, and have dominion. Not only is it subdue, bring it under control, but he has dominion over the, notice again, the fish of the sea, over the fowl, the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Over every living thing that moveth. So the few things he mentioned, he just gives in categorical what some things, but then he mentions everything that moveth on the face of the earth. Now, if you've turned with me to the New Testament, look at me in Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, we're moving over about 4,064 years later. God has saved a man by the name of Saul, changed his name to Paul. He's writing to the church at Rome, which he has given much instructions to. And notice what he says in verse 10 down a few verses. He said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now notice he said we, including himself. So this is segregating those who are saved and not saved. The unsaved people are going to be at the great white throne judgment, the book of Revelation. But he sets forth here, we, including himself, Paul, he said, we're going to be before the judgment seat of Christ. So the judgment, the fact that you're saved is going to make you here at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're unsaved, you're going to end up at the great white throne judgment over in the book of Revelation. So he says here that for we all stand, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Now watch this phrase, ladies and gentlemen. He says, every knee is going to bow to me. This is what Paul is saying that Jesus is talking about. Every knee is going to bow to me. Speaking of Christ. And every tongue shall confess to God. In other words, there's a time now. In grace, you'll bow to Jesus Christ and receive Him as Savior. And then one day, confess before Him, God. And the fact is this. Those who do not bow their knee now and confess Jesus Christ as who God says He is, who the Bible says He is, one day his tongue is going to confess to God at the great white throne, but it'll do no good then. It's too late. See, now it's by faith. Everything will be by sight then. I mean, when you stand in that day, it'll be looking at God, looking at Christ, rather than seeing Him through faith. And then He says to us, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now let us not therefore judge one another anymore then. Notice, He said, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in a brother's way. That's instruction. He said, you know, it's not a matter of judging someone now. You ought not to do that now. If you're going to do any judgment, judge that you don't do something to put a stumbling block in somebody's way who's weaker than you are. And he's talking about here the household of faith. And then he said, I know and am persuaded the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with that thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. If something in your life is going on and somebody is weaker, whatever you may say, you say, well, there's nothing wrong with me in doing that. Well, if there's nothing wrong with you in doing it and it makes a brother fall, then God said it becomes something wrong because strong Christians should be able to do away with stumbling blocks for others. And then he says, let not your good be evil spoken on. Verse 21, then he sums it up and he said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Now, if you look with me at the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and here's what Paul says at this time to the church at Corinth in verse 1 and 2. Now, he said, listen, God made man to subdue the earth. That is, he said to bring it into control. He made man to dominate, and everything's under him. By the way, the intelligence of man can put it. Now, it's not that some things may be stronger. A griller is a lot stronger than I am, but he's not as smart as I am. I mean, some people think he is, but he's not. Amen? Because he can outrun me. He can outdo me. He can kill me with a flap of a paw, but I got enough sense to get out of his way if I can. Amen? I better get out of your way this morning, I reckon. But what I'm saying is that this thing of having this to do and bringing control is the fact that God has given us ability in His image to do things that other things cannot do, like here on this earth. But now notice in chapter 4, verse 1 Corinthians, he said, let a man so account of us as the minister of Christ. Now notice he used the pronoun us. He said, let a man so account us, Paul said, as a minister of Christ. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here's the key, ladies and gentlemen. He said that we who are Christians are the ones that God is working through with his word, not our opinions. They're not worth 2 cents. They weren't worth 2 cents before we got saved, not worth 2 cents after we're saved when it comes to God. But it means the mysteries of God that God reveals in this book, that we're to be stewards of those mysteries, of the mysteries of God. That means if God calls a man to preach, or God calls a man to teach, or a woman to teach, whatever it is, you're given the responsibility to walk with God and handle the mysteries of God's word. That is, God is revealing something. A mystery is something that's been revealed that once was hid. And in the age of grace, this book is opened up by the Holy Spirit of God. If we spend the time in it, get it in systematic order, the Holy Spirit will help us connect the dots all the way through to understand what's going on. So watch, he said, let a man so account of us of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now watch verse 2. Because we are considered to be given the stewards of the mysteries of God. Folks, that is not a very thing to take lightly. That means that what I'm doing right now is so serious, I better be sure I spent time with God and stayed in this book and has looked in every reference I can to where my knowledge is now and serving God. I better be sure what I'm teaching is right. Because I'm handling the mysteries of God. And it's a serious thing. Someone said, well, I'm not going to be at the great white throne judgment, but we've just seen we'll be at the bema seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. Read it sometimes. You'll find how Paul describes that when it comes to us and seeing how our works are receive rewards or don't receive rewards. Now watch in verse 2. Moreover, then, it's required. Those who handle the mystery of God. By the way, someone said, well, thank God I'm not a teacher, I'm not a preacher, I'm not. But you are, if you are a Christian, you're still handling some of the mysteries of God's word. You're handling the fact that you trusted Christ as your Savior. And from there, you believe he saved you. That's a mystery the world knows nothing about. If they did, even though it's revealed to them, if they did, the whole world gets saved. But most of the world won't get saved. Why? Satanic influence destroys the word of God to the point that whereas a day will come, if it were possible, they would come and destroy it completely. But God will never let it get to the place that it's destroyed completely. Why? Because he exists forever. And his word is God. And God is his word. And so he says here, moreover, it is required as in stewards. Now, I have to handle the mystery. Teach the word of God. Live the word of God. Do the word of God. It's required. It's not an option. It's not something to think about. It is not something that may be so. He said it is required. Did you know there's some things you have to do that is required before you never get your driving license? Now, if you don't do those, you don't get them. Some of us know that. You'll have to pass the test to get them. I started to ask how many failed the test first time. Fortunately, I did not, but I come close. Amen. And of course, it won't play in horseshoe either. So here, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. God says it's required. If you're going to handle my word, if you're going to live the life of the world to see me and see me in you, it's required that a steward be found faithful. Now, next Sunday, I said the first day, we have a stewardship month here. And the theme of our stewardship this year is, what does the Bible teach? Now, there's always been four things that are basic about what the Bible teaches. First of all, we need to understand the church. That's what we're part of. We certainly need to understand something about God. We need to understand something about giving, because that's part of that. You can't have the church without God, and the church can't exist without giving, and God set that system up. And thirdly, you can't have growth in the church without soul winning. If there's any basics that has to do with a church, it's not just a club. It's just not a meeting place for business affairs. It's a place to worship Almighty God. Thank you. Because if we lose that factor, we lost everything. Now, here's what I want you to understand as we go through this. You know, there's times that you see that money changes everything. Money changes our thinking. Someone said, not me. There's not a person in here that money won't change your thinking. Mine too. I remember, I'm going to tell this. Some of you have heard this before, but you can hear, and those who hadn't heard it, you can laugh, and we'll enjoy it together. Amen. I enjoy it because it fits right into the lesson this morning. This fellow called up the church one day, and the secretary asked to answer the phone. And he said unto her, she said, "Hello, this is such church." And he said to her this time, he said, ma'am, can I speak to the head hog of the trough?" And it upset the secretary. She respected her pastor better than that. And she said, "Sir, I want you to know that our pastor here, you will not talk to him unless you give him more respect than that. I want you to know we don't refer to our pastor in such a way. Our pastor is either referred to as reverend or sir, or it might be pastor, or it might be doctor, or it might just be brother. But we don't address him as a head hog of the trough." He said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry." He said, "I am so sorry. You don't understand." He said, "I am so elated. God has blessed me so much that I wanted to call him and tell him that I was going to give $20,000 to the new building fund." And she said, "What'd you say?" He said, "I was going to give $20,000. You're going to give $20,000 to new building funds?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure am." She said, "Hold on just a minute. I believe I see the big fat hog coming in the door right now." Money changes things. Amen? Sure does. But I want to talk about this morning the thought, spirits of the Most High God. God made everything but hell for us on this earth. He didn't make hell for us. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 25:41, He said He prepared that for the devil and his angels. But the thing about it is, if we follow His pathway, that's our destiny. If we follow Christ's pathway in Him, we're changing course. And so what a wonderful thing to see when I think about stewardship. God gives us stewardship over all that He has made. He said that we are to subdue in Adam. And He says we're to have dominion. That is, we not only have control, but we're administrators of it. We're to oversee it. This is God's plan to fulfill our lives in His image. It gives us that success to look at other than just our own success in this life. A steward is one who has authority to care for the property of another. The property is not the steward, but he's looking after, she's looking after that property for someone else. They are not the owners, but they have the authority of someone else's as a steward. And this type of thing, this authority is a right, it's a privilege. And God says it'll bring fulfillment in our lives if we handle it right. It's not ours. By the way, not one thing on this earth ever becomes ours. If it's ours, it'd be ours forever. The only thing you and I can get forever is to be sure we do what God says to do, and it's laid up in heaven. But on the other hand, there is this thing that we find in this life that God blesses. Abraham was one of the richest men that ever lived. And he always let God be first. So you can let God be first in your life and be wealthy. You can let God not be first in your life and be wealthy. You can let God be first in your life and be poor. But you can also let God not be first in your life and be poor. So that has nothing to do with it whatsoever. But how we use that God gives authority over it does. And that's what he's talking about here. Such a right, such a privilege brings fulfillment to our lives. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we talked about fulfill in Christ that which completes. If you look in verse 9, he says, "In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Jesus Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you look in verse 10, it says that we're complete. We are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So in Jesus Christ is everything. Christ is our head. And even in our failures, He gives us the key to success, even though in the eyes of the world we look like a failure, but in His eyes we get keys to success. I assure you that there's been many when I left my organization years ago with the place I was at, the potential I had, would say, "Well, now, he's got to be a failure to think about starting a church or God using him to start a church." Well, I'll tell you, for a long time, it looked like I was, but God is true to His Word. And I see the day where many of those are even died and gone on. I'm still clicking along serving God. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the shots are not called by us. It's called by God. We make decisions, yes. But He calls the shot. It's pointed to the man once to die after the judgment. And by the way, it takes Christians as well as unsaved people. It takes preachers as well as laymen. We just in the last year had a couple, number of preachers. I had one dear man that passed away this week. He was buried yesterday. Went down funeral Friday night to the reception. Couldn't go yesterday because I was hurt. But anyhow, it happens to us all. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a difference in the destiny for those who know Jesus Christ and those who don't. There's a joy that only God can relate to us in our life. In Christ, our works are fulfilled. Outside of Jesus Christ, it brings corruption. Acts 17:28, Paul said, in him we live and move, or at least we should, as he was addressing the people there in Athens. Liberty is walking inside of Christ, not outside of Christ. Some people say, well, I have liberty outside of Christ. No, a person who walks outside of Christ is bound. They're like in a straitjacket, and they think we are because we are so gung-ho about Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the freest person in this world is a born-again child of God. Because there's things that the world can do to you and I, but it can never take away what God has hid in our heart when it comes to His Word. And that's the reason you see Fox's Book of Martyrs and many others through the years give their life for the cause of Christ. And it looked like all they had to do was make a few statements and not have to do that. And yet, you're going to see them wearing crowns on the other side. All of God's creation is to add to our fulfillment when we're walking with Him in the right attitude. God gives us authority over His creation. He gives it to us not to abuse it, but God gave it to us to use it for His glory. And when it's for His glory, it will come out for our good. And not only will we reap rewards here, but in heaven one day when we get on the other side. So I'm talking about stewardships of the Most High God. God gives us this authority. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there's things that God has given us as a blessing that is abused in our day, and it abuses the authority over it, and therefore it's causing a lot of damage. You know, alcohol could be a good thing if it's used in the right way. Did you know drugs could be a good thing if it's used in the right way? You heard me say, I thank God for Percocet. I thank God for Demerol, even though they won't give it to you nowadays, they say. But whatever they give me in place, I was all right when I need it. I don't know about you. I don't care for pain. I don't love pain. I don't ask God to give me pain. As a matter of fact, I hate pain. Amen? You say, honest, you're playing. I mean, preacher, you're playing. You better believe it. If you have pain, you hate it too. But that's something you have to deal with in this whole body. You know why? Because it's depraved. It's dying, and it's going back to the dust one day. And so I've got to understand, God's given me time, and I've got to use it best I can. I can't keep going like I'm going now. I know that. I'm getting older, but I can still serve God. And I'm asking God to let me see where it is the day I die, be doing something for Him, no matter it may be. Hey, if it's in a rest home, I want to start a Bible class in a rest home. If I'm in a rest home, I'll start a church if they'll let me. Amen. Because I believe that God is worth it to be used wherever I'm at. Everywhere we're at, there's something we can do for God. Amen. Prayer warriors. I let them know that people sometimes can't even get out of the home, but they're prayer warriors. What a blessing to know that people pray so many times a day for you because they can't go anywhere else in life, you see. We're the top of God's creation, ladies and gentlemen. He made us best in His image, and He created for us the best. God took what He made and put what He created inside of it, and a living human being. He made us from the dust of the ground, brought a glorified state to it so we'd look like we are today, flesh, called it flesh. But that was not the creation. That was making us from the dust of the ground. When He blew into us the breath of life, that came the creation, because then we began to move. We began to do things, and the image came alive in a body of flesh that was made for this earth. He made this earth for us, and He made us for this earth. But thank God, He made us also in the new creation for a new earth and a heaven that He talks about on the other side. All things were made by God, made good in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1:16. When we walk in obedience to Christ, God will use even Satan's tricks to cause you and I to success in the end results. There are things that Satan tricks us on because we don't have all the answers. We don't have all the information. Our minds have a little information about who God is, but we have enough to know about him. But Satan knows how to trick us. And many times he does trick us, but God is saying, if we will walk it best we can according to the faith in God and be found faithful as a good steward, God's going to see the end results come out like they should for you and I, and Satan's going to be the one who's going to lose. You say, how do you know that, preacher? I believe that because this is what this Bible tells me. I don't have any other. You ever had a dream? No, I wouldn't put my trust in a dream if I had one. But I put my trust in this book. You know why? God inspired this book. And he keeps it in record for you and I. When we obey Christ, end result's going to be the best. From day one of creation to man, Satan has tried to destroy man. You ever wonder why? It's not because we're stronger than Satan. We're no ways match for Satan. It's not because we're smarter than Satan. It's because we're in the image of God. And Satan has no power to go against God. So what does he do? He attacks the image of God, which is you and I. And therefore, we need his strength that comes through his word. And that's what the Holy Spirit helps us have. Satan knows not that he knows that in Christ's death is our resurrection. Our power is in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Christ's cross works for our fulfillment. The fact that you and I can be called a child of God is because of Calvary. What he did at Calvary. The suffering that he took at that time. Sometimes I say to the Lord, why did you do that for us? Why in the world? You certainly didn't see nothing in humanity, and you knew what Adam was going to do. You didn't see anything in Adam that could be worthwhile anything at all, other than the fact he was in your image. And yet God could see when a person is born again, the change in what could happen that would never happen as long as he's in a lost state. And so we look at this and we see that God, when you ask God, Lord, why did you do this? It burdens my mind, and it gets me sometimes to think, why would you do something like you have done? In Isaiah chapter 53, though, God says this, and this is what really gets my mind. He didn't just do it because of you and I. He did it to please himself. He wanted to do something for it. He didn't see anything worthwhile for you and I other than the fact that he was in his image and lost that image in, to some degree in Adam's day. You'll go back and you'll find that he was created in God's image. But Adam's descendants said they were in his Adam's in image. You know why? Adam had failed. God has never failed. And so now, though it's the image, God is restoring that image back in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why you and I who are saved have such a responsibility in our particular day. God said this, and this one will bless your heart. He said in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Bruise who? Jesus Christ. You mean God, it pleased you to bruise your son? And bruise your son means to go through what he went through? That's what God says. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul as an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God says, I saw what my son would do, the end results of what would come from that. And he saw you and I, if you're saved. He saw you and I. That's enough worth a shout right there. Amen. Because it pleased him, Isaiah 53, verse 10. In Ecclesiastes 8, 3, he said, he does what he pleases. In 1 Corinthians chapter 21, or chapter 1 in verse 21, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I thank God for that verse. I'm a preacher. He said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. The world says it's foolish. God says it's foolish. I'm glad I'm in the arena where God says it's foolish, but it's right. Because you're not saved without the preaching of the cross. There's no way possible. And thank God to see that. In Galatians 1:15, he said, please God to separate Paul from his mother's womb and call him by his grace. Let me give you quickly just five quick things about Stuart of the Most High. Try to do it in 6-7 minutes. After 6 o'clock tonight, amen. But notice, therefore, first of all, God gives us stewardship authority over what he made. We are administrators. We're overseers. We are the ones that God has given to us the authority over what is made. It's over God's creation here in this life. We're agents, kindly. We're managers to some degree as stewards. But man lost his authority when Adam failed. But Jesus Christ is gave back us the authority when God did for us. God did for us what he wanted us to be, to do what he wanted us to do, if we would just yield to him. We are more accountable now, since we're saved, than we were before we were saved. The things before we were saved, just the fact that sin piled up, no payment for it. In Christ, we have this authority, because we've taken on his character after his kind. We move and stir in him, and therefore he has access to our heart. He gives us stewardship on this earth. He kept the ownership. He kept also the lordship. Go to Psalms 50 and you see that. Haggai in chapter 2, verse 8 says, the silver and gold is mine. That's what God said. God said in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20, he said, we who are saved are the Lord's. Why? We've been bought with a price. He says, you're not your own. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. If you stand in the mirror and look at yourself and say, I know that I see Christ as my Savior, and give the reason why biblically, then you are not your own. That's what the Bible says. We are bought with a price. And Jesus Christ paid that price. Job in chapter 41, verse 11 said, what's under the whole heavens is mine, God says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, he said, the fullness of the earth is mine. In fact, it said, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He gives us isn't it amazing? All of this, God says, I'll give you steward. I'll give you mentality. I'll give you the fact that you can think and work. You can take things that may already been made and make something, or take things that have been created and make things from that. You can progress. You can do a lot of things, but keep in mind, in the end results, it's all coming back to me. And that makes you think different. It realize that this thing of God is for God and doing the things that's going on at that time. As stewards, we're subject to legal documents. We must follow the instructions. If you buy a new car, you get something with it to tell you what to do about the upkeep of that car. You find out most of us deal with realtors when you deal with a realtor. A realtor is no more than just handling something for somebody else. And if you even pay them money, it's not their money, it's somebody else's. That's how we are. We're ambassadors, but we'll also find ourselves as stewards for the things of God. Suppose a realtor sometimes had money come to them, and they said, you know, the person I'm representing, I won't have to report to him for about 30 days from now. I'll just use some of it for myself. If they do that, they abuse their authority. Why? It's not theirs. It's not theirs. They're just looking after that. And that same thing with you and I. God has given us the ability to be stewards, but it's not ours. We're looking after it, and if we abuse it, there is a coming a consequence one day when we stand before him. We are all we have belong to God, including ourselves. Did you know that? We're bought with a price. What little money I got in my pocket, what my pockets on these clothes, my clothes on this body, my body and my spirit. All of this belongs to God. He bought me with a price. And therefore, I have to understand what he says will work for me if I obey him. Yet if we use what God has given according to his direction, it won't work for us. It may seem and be for a while, but after a while, the bottom will fall out. Something will happen, or you're just going to leave it to somebody else, because God is saying, I will be first. You can't say, I think you ought to be first. God said, I will be first. Sooner or later. Ladies and gentlemen, this is as much Bible as John 3:16. Because God has given us more about this when he talks about John 3:16. And so we think that, yet if we use what God has given us according to his direction, it'll bless us. It'll fulfill us. And then again, fulfillment is not what you have. Fulfillment is based on how you use it. When you misuse it, God may come and change the settlement day. We are caught with the stuff, and then that's called robbing God in Malachi, and mismanagement as far as our lives are concerned. I'm talking about stewardship now. You're caught in this thing. People are in hell because they thought one day had one more day and never had that. They put off getting saved, just one more. Then next thing, they end up out of this world. Did you know money is only a transfer of giving your time? It took you, that time that it took you to make money is just a transfer of your time. Time, listen to me, please hear, time is a gift from God to you and I. It's pointed to a man wants to die. So as long as we have time, God says appointment, it's coming. Time is a gift from God that God gives us in our life. Now let me say something here. Mark those who disregard your time because they're stealing from you something you can't buy. If you don't hear nothing else, hear that. Your time is worth more than someone stealing it for nothing. So what happens? God is letting us see the interest of what time is. Let me ask you, would you want a realtor or a manager to take what was yours? God is so generous to you and I. And I know nowadays them talk about tithing and giving things to the Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, God off the top said he'd give us 90%. He only required 10% of what we make. And he said, I'll do my work with the 10% and you can live lavishly if you obey me with the 90% to some degree. The tithe, listen to me, the tithe is not the payment of a debt. The tithe, ladies and gentlemen, is the acknowledgement of a debt you and I cannot pay. And we obey God in that era. When you think about it, to not give what God requires is an imperfect and fine and blemished gift. If you go over to the Old Testament, I challenge you to read Exodus 12 in the next few days. You'll find that when God said you separate a lamb, you don't give the worst you got. You don't give one a blemish. If he's got a spot on him, you don't give it. If he's got a bad leg, whatever, you don't give it. You set him apart, keep him separated so many days, and then you take him out and you give him as a gift to me. Don't give me the seconds. Give me him as a gift. And if you give me an animal that's blemished, it won't mount. It won't count for you one bit. And that's how God showed us about giving with Israel in the Old Testament. God never accepts anything less than what he requires. And only the mature Christian today will ever see this completely. No one would want a realtor to rob them. Let me ask you a question. Would you want, if you're supporting this church, would you want a teacher standing in place not supporting this church trying to teach you? I think I know you better than that. Did you? Would you want a deacon sitting on the board that's not giving? Would you want a teacher teaching a class somewhere or another that's not giving like they should? And they're trying to, they're ministers of this book. They're giving the missions of this book. And I guarantee you, the people sitting in this pew, if you knew a teacher or somebody in this church or leadership won't support this church like they should, and you would support beyond just giving, it would mean something to you because you realize they're not handling the mysteries of God right. Preacher, and it's the best preaching I've heard you preach in a long time. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is true. I'm just saying we're going to stewardship month. And this is elements you don't hear much about that we need to hear because it's important for the church, and important what's going on. Now, I can do this now because our church is not in no financial bind. This is a good time to preach. I can do it loosely and go home sleep tonight because I'm not saying, hey, we're better off financially than we've ever been and doing more than we ever did. But that don't mean we got to slack up on it. Thank you, brother. That's right, because there's a lot more that's involved that we could be doing. I mean, let me ask you, would you want someone who's handling communion, passing out cups and bread, to pass them out to you if they won't support in this church? Ladies and gentlemen, would you want an usher that passes by the place in this church to take your tithe and not be tithing themselves? I'm telling you, I'm asking you the question about this. I hope all these men do. I don't know what I'm just saying. Understand what is being presented here. Would you want someone to even try to tell you what God says about doing if they're not doing what God says to do themselves? That's what Paul is saying. We're stewards to be found faithful. It's required that we be found faithful if we're going to handle the word of God itself. So again, the realtor uses the owner's money to take care of the place. They fix this, they do that, the owner has to pay. Realtors give account to the owners. We answer to God about our handling the things of God the same way as stewards. A good steward knows the owner's ways. Now, some people may know God but don't know his ways. A lot of folks, I say, know me, but they don't know my ways. You know the one who knows my ways the most? She's sitting right over there. Barbara Innes, and she's not going to tell you my ways. I'm not going to tell you hers. By the way, you have some ways too. So what I'm saying, many of you know what I'm talking about here. To truly get to know someone will cause you to sacrifice. And then a good steward is honest and will not keep that which is not his. Again, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I guarantee you, those people say, well, I wish I hadn't come today. Ladies and gentlemen, this would probably be the best message you could hear to help you with Christ, if you're saved, help you live for God than you ever hear. Because these are things that people don't like to teach about, but it's Bible, and you can't preach the whole counsel of God, as Paul said, unless you teach stewardship. Amen. It's part of our lives. Now, to understand honesty, you must know what dishonest is. There are two types of stealing. Somebody take what is not yours, and then you keep something that's borrowed and forget or just not return it. Two ways to do that. A good steward will not keep that which is not his knowingly and return what they have, that they've got knowingly if they have it and remember it. He knows how to manage that which is his and she is over. When one obeys God in Christ, all works for him. Ladies and gentlemen, if one disobeys then there's corruption coming. It's going to bring it sooner or later. There's going to be some problems. Hey, this world is full of problems now, trying to do what's right. But God said the end result's going to be problems if I'm left completely out of this. Now, we live in a mentality today that people say, well, God don't really matter. In fact, most people don't know who the true God is anyhow. Well, if I didn't have the Bible, I'd have to fall in that line. But I believe it all my heart. If I didn't believe this is the word of God, tell me who the true God is, I'd walk out of here right now at that door and you'd never see me come back this pulpit. Because if God is not the God of this Bible, we have no real God. You say, preach, that's a bold statement. That's a true statement. God himself says, I live and I change not. Now think about these things. What he said about the giving. Did you know that our minds are supposed to be like Christ without blemish? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this. God says, I change not. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine? I don't believe he does. Isn't it amazing? And yet, there are some people, when it comes to giving, thinks God has changed his mind about that. But he said, I change not. And he spells that out so forcefully. Someone said, you may give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. A good steward may think, and this may be all of us sometimes, a good steward, not just a saved person, but a saved person who is a good steward may think, you know, I might could get by with this. But then God's word comes in. He says, but I know it can't. Why? Because God has set the guidelines. God wrote the document. God wrote the doctrine that I've got to live by. And so a good steward stays in Christ. This is what irritates a lot of people. You see someone really serving God. They'll find everything on your life that's clean and any dot that they can spread about it, they'll do that on you. But on the other hand, when it comes to serving God, I'm glad he sees us through Jesus Christ. And it irritates people. We're in Christ and they come. And then say a little while we're still in Christ and they leave we're in Christ. And then they come back later and we're still in Christ, you see. What I'm saying to you, God has given us some information when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what he says, and we'll close with this thought. Notice he said in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I challenge you to study these words. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Notice, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're involved in. Behind your motivation should be that which God could get glory out of. Lord, if I put this peg in this hole, it's going to be for the glory of God. If I send this thing out complete, it's going to be for the glory of God. Everything is a means to an end, and the end is the glory of God. And he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a lot of things here that we leave behind, never mount. But what we did for God, ladies and gentlemen, and God didn't call you to preach. Did you know if God hadn't called me to preach, I could stay where I at, went to the place that I had to go, and served God just as good as I could at preaching? But God did call me to preach. God did call me out of the ranks of foul into this era. And I know those days. I struggled through those days. But I could have, if I was serving God before then, I was a layman speaking everywhere before then. But if I had not come as an ordained preacher, wherever I went with my company and they had me plotted to go, if I had went, Christ would have still been in the center of my life. Because they were a means to an end. They were not the end. And I thank God he's proved that down through the years in our lives. So here we are. Be steadfast, not distracted by threats or bribes or any kind of mammon. Good stewards always stays in Christ. This old world knows God through his agents, through his administrators, through his stewards, through those that he directs to manage his word, the mysteries of this of God's plan and purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, God has given you mysteries to reveal to people in this world. Sit down, not arrogantly, but humbly. So again, God gives us authority over what he's made. As stewards, we are subject to the legal doctrines and documents that the owner sets up. As stewards, we assume no liabilities, but it is accounted as rewards. Thing about this is, ladies and gentlemen, I have no liabilities in the sense God owns it all, but I have a responsibility to handle what he owns right. Right? Some of you realtors in here, some of you know what it is. There's things you do for other people, but whatever money's flow, if you're someone and renting things out to people, you have no liabilities at all at that. The rent, you're just handling it. But on the other hand, you have a responsibility to make sure that those liabilities are what they ought to be. And that's what God says about us as his children. And he said, a good steward is honest, and a good steward walketh in Christ. Galatians 5, 6 says this, and this sums it up, and I'm through. Walk ye in the Spirit. It amazes me. God said, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, can I believe that? You certainly can if you walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit is not halfway. Not half. I was going to say, well, yeah, I walked this morning, Lord, but this afternoon I'm a little bit out. Walking in the Spirit is a consecutive walk with God. And doing so, he said, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By the way, the lust of the flesh will be that which gets us to go against God. To take something not ours. To not even believe that God said what he said about giving. We find that's the error that God has to break down. Would you stand to your feet? Our Father, Lord, thank you. You don't teach these things or have these taught to hurt people. Lord, you teach these things because we are accountable. We will give an account one day to you.